Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Liberty Roundtable live. This is the broadcast for January the 11th in the year of our Lord, 2016. This is Hour 2 of 2. The goal to protect life, liberty, and property and to promote God, family, country always continues. Kirk Cosby's with me. Welcome, sir. All right, Joel, jump in. Joel Skousen's with us, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. Joel Skousen, worldaffairsbrief.com. How are you, sir?
Thank you. Good. As good as you can be with the state of the world.
All right, now, last hour we had a guy on. His name is Michael Emery, TVOI, the voice of Idaho, TVOINews.com. He's on the ground in Burns, Oregon now. He's reporting. He's a good, honest, stable reporter doing a good job. He's embedded with the Pacific Patriot Network and the Idaho 3%ers. And on Saturday, they presented ideas for solutions and intent to Ammon Bundy and crew at the refuge and to the FBI and to the Sheriff's Department. It's kind of comical on one hand. The Sheriff's Department's all barricaded. At the same time, you got children and families walking through the refuge. It's just a very strange situation out there. I reject the action that Ammon took. I think it was foolish. I think it was naive. I think it was ill-advised. However, it's already been done, and that's where we are. I was at the rally in Burns, Oregon, the peaceful rally. I personally gave the Hammonds hugs, told them we'd do everything we can to get them out of jail before they went to jail. We sang Amazing Grace and gave flowers to the Hammonds. It was a very peaceful, delightful rally. And then Ammon and those guys took this action and, in my opinion, eclipsed all the good we had done. And nevertheless, we are where we are, and there's a complicated breakdown of who's who, and the Patriot movement is getting torn apart over this. Stuart Rhodes and others are saying, man, we have credible evidence, urgent warning on the standoff. Military special op assets have been assigned for the standoff. Keep women and children out of there. At the same time, others are saying, come on, this is as peaceful as could be. At the same time, the battle's back and forth of who wants them there. The townspeople are all working for the federal government and say, get out of here. But yet the ranchers want them there. It's hard to know where to stand because you don't want to be involved in backing any criminal activity on either side. It's a very complicated situation. Joel Skousen, I want you to kind of break it down from your perspective with regards to this divide first.
Well, the divide is, of course, not over the issue of federal government encroachment upon property rights, ranchers' rights, water rights, grazing rights. That's the untold story here that I put in.
And that we all agree on completely, right?
Right. We all agree on this completely. It is a fairly untold story, though, because the media isn't covering this. They aren't covering the egregious actions of the Fish and Wildlife Service relative to the formation of the refuge and the expansion of the refuge by squeezing ranchers out, by forcing them out, by cutting off their access to property, by cutting off water
rights. Controlling water rights, yeah.
I mean, fencing off water rights. I mean, this is just egregious stuff. The problem is that the actions that Bundy and crew should have taken should have been at the time when these actions were taking place, to reinforce the Hammonds' rights, and there have been, you know, mistakes all the way around. But to go in now and occupy a refuge, which makes the Bundy group look like aggressors in this case, because, you know, the refuge, I mean, basically they're asking for too much. They're asking for a dissolving of the wildlife refuge. They're never going to get that. You know, it's a big thing when you've had years and years of unconstitutional land grabbing by the feds, I mean, decades and centuries, in fact, since if you look at a map, which I put a link on the World Affairs Brief of what territories were forced into this, federal
unholy alliance,
unholy alliance, whereby as a condition of statehood, you had to yield over half of your state, you know, to the federal government and say, you know, we're going to keep this as territorial property, and then you become a state of the other areas. I mean, it was just egregious, and it's a dividing line from the western border of South Dakota, North and South Dakota, straight down to Texas. Every state to the west of that looks like a federal enclave with the average of 50% of their land owned by the feds and 84% of Idaho. I mean, can you imagine giving Idaho a statehood and keeping 84% of the land? It's just ludicrous. And most of this is worthless land. I mean, nobody's complaining really about, national parks and other things if you want to have that and the states. But the Constitution is very clear that the states have to cede that through legislative action. You can't simply take it. But, you know, there is another portion of the Constitution in Article 4, which states that the government, has the right to manage certain territories and other things. But, you know, there really hasn't been an open and shut challenge to this that has been ruled upon by the Supreme Court. They've just kind of separated the two clauses, limiting the federal government ownership of property.
Well, and the courts like that no man's land of confusion. They do that with the tax code. They do that with this because they know they don't have a firm leg to stand on, and they can play games and never answer the question, leave it alone, and then just take action and strip people off one at a time and abuse them. That's what the problem has been for decades.
That's right, and they clearly, I mean, you're exactly right. The IRS code has never been fully litigated. You could remedy the problems in the IRS code that the tax protesters, are right about. It would take 15 minutes in a tax writing session of Congress to remedy that, and they don't. And, of course, my opinion is they're keeping this trap open to attract people into the tax protest trap so they can put them in jail. That's the only reason they don't close those imprecise portions of that. But they'd have a harder time closing these. They'd have to admit, basically that the land grab by the federal government in the western states is illegal, was unconstitutional. If they begin to remedy it, it's an open admission that there was error there. So, but the point is that there is need for very strong defensive action, not only just protest, but I think there is a response for armed groups protecting ranchers from being arrested or the property being confiscated, as happened at the Bundy Ranch, when the government gets too aggressive. When you're in a defensive situation, you've got the rally of your neighbors around you.
You basically got the moral high ground, right?
You've got the moral high ground. But when you go in and then just say, well, we're going to take over this refuge and demand that it be dissolved by the federal government, that's a matter for legislation, and almost everybody agrees that can be done legislatively.
The other debate has to do with the authority of the sheriff in this case. He's flat out politely asked them to leave. Then the question was
passage.
Yeah, and give them free passage, safe passage. Then what happened, though, is Ammon refused to leave. Then what happened, though, was the question was asked by the media, what if the sheriff had tried to handcuff you right then? What would have happened? And Lavoie Finicum said, don't answer the question, Ammon, and Ammon chose not to. But that's kind of the problem here is when you have an armed group of people that won't obey the sheriff's wishes. Now, I don't believe the sheriff's a good guy. I think he's a wimp, and that's why I think we're at the problem, or that we've got the problem that we have, because he didn't take action soon enough. And give a redress of grievances to the people there. But this issue of, well, we don't have to pay attention to the sheriff. At some point, though, you say, is there order to the system? And is there a peaceful way to resolve this? Or what if a bigger group comes in and says, no, I'm in control? At some point, there's not an answer here in terms of proper procedure or solutions, is there?
Well, there's a de facto leadership there in Ammon Bundy. And I've been in contact with his family. I have sent them a copy of last Friday's World Affairs brief, and I sent them a detailed letter outlining how I think Ammon should resolve this peacefully by announcing, that we have protested this because of the egregious way in which landowners have been treated by the Fish and Wildlife Service expanding this refuge. That's why the refuge is the target. We have brought sufficient attention to this thing that we're going to leave voluntarily, but we put, my suggestion was, we put the government on notice that we will come to the defense through peaceful protest, though it may be armed for the defense of it. We will come to the defense of any rancher or property owner who is egregiously treated by the BLM or the Fish and Wildlife Service in the future, and then walk out of there. And, he would have had the high ground. People would have said, hey, that's reasonable. These people are not crazies, and you would have walked away at the moral high ground. But, by rejecting the sheriff's office of free passage, and to a certain extent, you see, tactically, he should have taken my advice of being the first one to announce he was going to leave, rather than announced in response to the sheriff, that puts him in a, you know, it's a problem of saving face there, because you're looking like you're succumbing to the sheriff's pressure. If you take the high ground before there's armed standoff, if you take the high ground before somebody's forcing you to leave, then you gain more, you know, PR effectiveness.
You gain solution credibility that, hey, these people aren't crazy. They're actually providing solutions. They are peaceful. It's beyond debate, etc. Well, now they've got other plans. I want to talk to you about those plans, get your take on those. I want to talk to you about other solutions that might be valuable. I think the sheriff needs to give somewhere. We'll talk about that as well. Joel Skousen with us, worldaffairsbrief.com. He's got an incredible article, The Oregon Federal Lands Protest. We'll talk about it.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like their green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, Joel Skousen riding shotgun, ladies and gentlemen. WorldAffairsBrief.com. It's WorldAffairsBrief.com. Weekly inbox emails chronicling trouble in the current world we live in and solutions there too, if you will. Joel Skousen, in his last World Affairs Brief, has an article, The Oregon Federal Lands Protest, that he breaks it down as he sees it. There's a big rift in the Patriot movement. And I don't want to focus on that rift too much, but I will say this. It's getting harder and harder for that rift not to be there. Stuart Rhodes is saying he's got credible evidence that the government has assigned basically a package, a military way to take care of this or solve this thing. We know the government's very hostile when they do. That's the problem. So you got the people securing the perimeter that are peaceful. You got Ammon in there that won't leave. You got the sheriff. You got all these different entities all at kind of odds with one another. And some people are saying it's a powder keg and just needs a spark. David Kotria, Ammoland, wrote that. Urgent warning on the standoff. Military special op assets have been assigned. Get your women and children out of there immediately. Well, Stewart says that. Stewart won't go near it, but yet others are saying, we got to help keep this safe and make sure that it doesn't turn into a Waco. I see both sides, Joel Skousen, and I agree with elements of both sides. I agree that you can't trust the government. They shot poor Vicky Weaver. Lon Horiuchi, the thug sniper, shot her while she was holding a baby in her arms, and she was not armed. And there was no real accountability for that that we know of. And so you can't trust the government. The place is not safe. At the same time, you got children brought by ranchers walking through the refuge, all hanging out, having a good time. And the sheriff is barricaded in his office right now. To me, this is not looking good. I know people want it to be peaceful, and I pray that it is. But I don't trust the government, Joel. I don't.
Well, I think the government is the reason they've been holding back from doing an armed standoff or surrounding it and sealing it off from other people getting in is because they are very concerned about it's going to be real bad blood if they start another Waco, which was just a massive disaster where they, you know, incinerated these people unnecessarily inside. The fact that there are, you know, ranchers of women and children, you know, walking around the refuge, and it's a fairly open, peaceful, and in fact, I pointed out in the brief that the you know, protesters have got some good press in the fact that the media has said, you know, there isn't a bunch of crazies aiming their weapons out the windows. I mean, they're shoveling snow and they're taking care of the place, and it's fairly peaceful. So,
and they're actually helping out in the town, helping citizens clean their driveways and such too. They're actually doing a good deed around town, and it's getting them a lot of positive local support.
Yeah, and I think that's all good. But you're right. At some point, the government is planning, and I wouldn't doubt that they have tactical plans in place for a swoop in and take them out type routine. I think before they do that, of course, they would simply start a siege and stop anyone from going in and supporting them or giving them food, try to starve them out. I think that would...
They may also cut power. It's very cold there.
Yeah. I think that's all very, it's inevitable. The government simply cannot. In fact, there are many people in the initial articles coming out, quoting the Southern Poverty Law Conference and, you know, the L.A. Times in particular, was saying, you know, the government can't let Bundy get away with this. He got away with it in Nevada, and the government did down, but they cannot let him get away with this. So there's a lot of people in the pro-government, saying you got to make an example of Bundy. So I think he's on borrowed time there, and that's why I have strongly suggested to his family get him to take the initiative before there's a standoff so that he can come out, you know, smiling and saying, you know, we were successful and we did this right.
Now, I had Ammon on from the inside 2 hours last week. It was last Tuesday's program. Everybody might want to listen to that. The sad part about this whole thing is I just find myself walking this fine line. I don't agree with the action that Ammon took. I do agree with the points that he's making about the abuse of the rogue elements in government. They're out of control and got to be stopped. And somehow we got to go to the next level. This just isn't the way to go about it. Secondly, we got to get the Hammonds out of prison, though. I know they went willingly, they claim, but, it's kind of like paying your income taxes willingly. As long as they force you under penalty of perjury, you're certainly willing, aren't you? And so we got this dynamic here where I agree with everything Hammond's saying. I don't agree with their actions. Now, here's the next piece, though. They're planning to go forward and create their own, what they call sovereign grand juries, or some call them common law grand juries. The problem is, if you create those without any level of elected government involved, you miss the mark, too, don't you?
Absolutely. There's just no way that you can get away with, you know, having an alternative government and claiming force. We've had, you know, Citizens United and other types of groups try to, you know, give threatening letters to public officials to resign or we're going to arrest you. You just can't do that. You know, Americans won't tolerate that. We still don't have, the support of the public. They don't know enough about the depth of the conspiracy that controls the government and how evil it really is. We don't have the support and the outrage that would be necessary to justify alternative establishment shadow government type.
In other words, you cannot have more freedom or more liberty than the people are educated and moral. You just can't have it. It's not possible. And that's kind of the fundamental point to understand.
One thing that I pointed out, which is that I suggested to the Bundy family, was that you get a legislator to sponsor a rancher's bill of rights. Let me give you some background on this. We in the general aviation field did this for a pilot's bill of rights. The FAA was running roughshod over pilots. They had their own judge and jury when you would get a violation, and they would prosecute you. You had no real due process, no advance warning. They wouldn't give you any evidence of what they had against you. There was no defense, due process in this. And so Congress got together over a period of several years, and we hammered out a pilot's bill of rights, whereby, you know, the federal government really had to treat pilots with advance notice, and they had to be very open about what they were charging with. There had to be evidence. And we could do the same thing in a rancher's bill of rights. You could say, you know, the water rights or even grazing rights cannot be terminated except by a neutral judicial body, you know, whereby scientific evidence is produced about this and this and this, and, you know, you can set out a due process, which would go a long way towards getting rid of this arbitrary power that these federal agents have on BLM land or Fish and Wildlife Service areas. And I think that that could be the high ground. You know, you can go to higher levels of force if Congress stalls and doesn't eventually do that. But I think that's something that the Sagebrush Rebellion could get behind that go a long way towards avoiding these types of confrontations in the future. Now, it doesn't solve the ultimate problem of the unconstitutional land grab of the federal government. But, you know, after, you know, nearly 100 years of that going on, you know, it's hard to undo that kind of thing because people are used to it and they accept it. And it's hard to get enough public backing. You could get that public backing if, you know, you have a rancher's bill of rights and the violations continue. You've got the force and rule of law behind you, you know, just as the pilot's bill of rights has done wonders for the general aviation field.
Not only would a rancher's bill of rights be one of the great solutions that we could have, forcing the sheriff to resign would be another good one. I mean, the fact is David Ward failed, and that's why we're at the level we're at. Had he offered even open dialogue and solutions and proposed some of these options, we really could have been somewhere if he would have protected the Hammonds. Now, they've used this idea of terrorism to back into putting the Hammonds in jail. They also then forced the Hammonds to sign a first right of refusal on their land. The government's out of control. These actions could have been peacefully stopped by the sheriff. Wait a minute, you're not going to force them to sign anything on their property, number one. Number two, we're not going to let you use terrorism charges. These people aren't terrorists. They've been in our community forever. This is a lie. There needs to be checks and balances, and the sheriff could have stood up, even the governor. Anybody in the state could have stood up and stopped a lot of this abuse, and that's what's taken this to the extreme level that it has.
You're exactly right. I covered the legal issues in this World Affairs Brief, and, you know, your listeners can get a free copy by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. But it's very important to understand that the government tried to railroad the, first of all, remember, in order to apply the terrorism charge, and that's what went...
Hold on, Joel. Let's continue right after the pause. I want to give you time to rock and roll on this, because this piece is so critical when it comes to the problem and the solutions. All right, checks and balances are critical, ladies and gentlemen, but you can't work with outside the system and break down the complete order, or you end up with something worse. That's the problem. Hang tight. Joel Skousen, worldaffairsbrief.com.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Many of you have heard me talk about my vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this vigor stuff about? Well, vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called vigor. Would you like to improve your vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, really quick before we get back to Joel Skousen, somebody emailed me named Henry Howdy. I don't think they're willing to tell me their real name. I emailed them back, though. They don't give me their phone number like they ought to. They say, with friends like you, Sam, Ammon doesn't need enemies. You're hurting him, Sam. Have you ever heard if you can't say anything nice just to be quiet? You're the biggest mouth against Ammon. How many times during your show are you going to slam Ammon about you not even agree with him? Ammon is right, and everyone knows it. You sound like you're scared. Kissing the whatever, but you're self-serving. You should not call yourself Mormon. Okay, good luck with that. I emailed him back and said, you know what, call me. We'll debate this on the radio. We'll set up a time. I'll give you free air time. We'll debate this till the cows come home. I am a personal friend of Ammon's. Okay? I put Ammon on the radio for 2 hours last week with some of the most cogent arguments Ammon has to make. And I let him talk. I've given Ammon more of a forum than just about anybody else. However, I'm going to break down. I have my own opinions. I don't work for the government. I'm not a stooge. I have my own brain and my own opinions about what's right and wrong. And I feel free to tell you that. I also really want to make sure that people don't go get themselves in harm's way. This is not child's play. This is not a joke, ladies and gentlemen. The government is evil and will kill people. Go look at Waco and Ruby Ridge if you don't believe me. Okay, this is not a laughing matter. I was live at the rally in Burns, Oregon, a week ago, last Saturday, if you will. And I was there peacefully and hugged the Hammonds and doing everything that I can to help free them. I'm also hoping to help Ammon come out safe and alive as well. I've got friends on the inside. I'm reporting the truth. And I bring all this up to say that just because I don't agree hook, line, and sinker with these bogus grand juries that I don't believe are the answer, just because I don't believe with arming myself to the teeth and taking over buildings, that doesn't mean that I'm not a patriot, and it doesn't mean that I won't stand for what's right. I want to stand for what's right. And I mentioned it's a tough line. It's very difficult to follow. Okay? But you got to be as honest as you can, and you got to do your best to provide solutions. I mentioned last hour, we need to bring people together for solutions. And I've agreed with Ammon that he's right on a lot of the fundamental points he talks about. But let's break down this Joel Skousen article. I would recommend this listener goes to worldaffairsbrief.com, read the Joel Skousen article, and let's talk about some of these legal issues, Joel. Legally, you were about to say, sir.
Yeah, it's very important to understand how the government railroaded the Hammonds into prison, and especially this five-year additional sentence. And basically the point is they had to, first of all, claim that the accidental burns or the controlled burns that they did were arson. Now, arson requires malicious intent. And in order to get malicious intent, they took one incident in 2001, and they claimed that the Hammonds did a controlled burn to cover up a poaching incident where they had killed deer on BLM land illegally and burned and created the burn in order to cover up.
But that doesn't even make any sense. It won't even burn the bones anyway, will it? Come on.
I mean, this is just ridiculous. You can't have deer down. I mean, poachers have been poaching for centuries, and you don't leave the deer there if you're poaching to cover up the evidence and try to burn it. You can't burn that much of a body. Even if you had gutted the deer, as many people do in order to lighten the load to haul them out, you can't, through a brush fire, burn a whole bunch of entrails. They're still going to be there smoldering and leaving a telltale sign. So this whole thing is bogus about saying that you did a control burn in order to cover up a crime, and therefore it was malicious intent and arson. And worse yet, they got a mentally unstable grandson talked him into testifying that someone told that the Bundys told him to light a match. Well, he might have been there and told to light a match for the controlled burn, but certainly it wasn't to cover up for a poaching incident. But they had to do something in order to create this image that is arson. And then once you got arson, you can it's still a stretch to bring in the Anti-Terrorism Act, even if it were arson. But that's what they did. And the judge, the original judge who retired right after this ruling, said, you know, I'm not buying this terrorism thing. There was no malicious intent. And therefore, he reduced the sentence to a year and a half for one and a few months for the other. And now they come back after the fact and reinstate the cases. You know, this is really kind of double jeopardy, saying that the judge improperly, you know, reduced the sentence. But, you know, the key issue is it never should have been a terrorism act. It never should have been an arson act. In the first place. So this was a railroad.
Well, and let's be clear, they already served time, though. Isn't that enough, for crying out loud? The guy's 74 years old.
Absolutely, it's enough, especially since there was no damage done.
I think it's too much, but that's another discussion.
You've got to remember also that the judge levied, according to the government recommendations, a $400,000 fine for what? There was witness testimony that was refused to be allowed that there was only benefit to the land by burning off the sagebrush and creating a better environment for grass to grow for future grazing. There was also evidence that has been brought out that I covered in the World Affairs brief that there was an independent study that the wildlife are leaving the refuge and going to productive farmland, to rangeland, where they have grasses and waters and alfalfa and other things that they're growing. The wildlife are leaving the refuge, which is totally sterile. Nobody's being able to use it or farm it, and the water's drying up and things, and they're going off to where farmers have water through irrigation and other things, and then the wildlife tries to take their land and take their water, bring it into the refuge, make it sterile, and the wildlife keep leaving. I mean, this is just a major scandal in terms of government destroying land.
And that's why I agree with Ammon and the Hammonds, and by the way, I've documented the Hague family more than anybody else as well, where they've gone to the courts, the government lost, the Hague family won, the federal government was guilty of racketeering and tampering with witnesses, and the list goes on and on. I've taken Ramona Hague to the National Press Club to testify publicly about that, and we have a video about that. I've done more for this effort than people could possibly imagine. The goal isn't for me to take credit, but it is to set the record straight, Joel. You and others have done tremendous behind-the-scenes work as well, and this is what people got to understand. We support the need for resolution on these issues big time, right?
Absolutely. And once again, I want to reiterate, I think the best thing we're going to get, I don't think you're going to get the government to give up all the land, but I think the best thing we're going to get is a Rancher's Bill of Rights. And that will allow you to have the force of law to nail these BLM agents to the wall if they start doing these tactics again.
Do you think we can get Hammond out? The Hammonds out. Do you think we can get them released?
Well, I think that we need more protests, long protests, and we need to get, this is obviously unjust. We need to get this sentence vacated on the basis of terrorism. And it's unfortunate, though, that it's not a clear-cut case in the sense that the Ammons did only once call the firefighters in advance. There is some bad blood in Harney County because the firefighters do not like the Hammonds. They think they put them at risk by doing burns only notified them once out of four fires. And so you see there is some damage there. There is some wrong here. And
my response is we agree with that, but not to the point of putting someone in federal prison for 5 years. Come on. People get off easier on murder than that.
Absolutely, yeah.
Do you think we can get them out?
Well, I think there is a possibility. I don't think you can do it with this particular protest.
In other words, you don't think Ammon being in there can get the Hammonds out?
No, I don't think so. But I think that we need to have regular protests in other cities and saying, free the Hammonds, free the Hammonds. A lot of chanting, a lot of signs, and make this a major cause. And then have legislation, you know, coming in there, you know, where Congress goes and says, we want this person freed. And there are people in the Sagebrush Rebellion, good legislators, who can push those types of things and make it a cause. I mean, you can win this thing peacefully.
I agree with that. Now, I want to make one other point, Joel, and I know it sounds like, Sam, why would you just go off on this one listener and waste so much time on that little piece? Who cares what they say? I agree, except for what we're doing is documenting what we're doing and why. And I want to distance myself from Ammon's action, and I want to distance myself from these grand juries, which I believe the certain grand juries are not legitimate, because you got to understand the right way and wrong way to do things. And if we go half-cocked and do some of these things, we're actually going to set our movement back big time. That's what I'm really trying to prevent. It's not about preserving Sam or making Sam this or that. It's about fundamentally letting people know the real answers and how and why and what to truly restore the country. Do you want to respond to that, Joel? I think it's a critical piece.
No. I have long said that we've got to be very, very careful of the tactics that you use, because you do have to worry. I mean, frankly, you know, I'm very negative about being able to change things politically in the country. I think we're past that point. I think powerful conspiratorial forces do control both political parties and the government. That said, you can't do a revolution of words or arms as in the founding of the country unless you have the support of most of the people. And because of the controlled media, you have to be very, very careful about being able to maintain the moral high ground. You've got to be able to put your message out. It's got to be credible. You've got to have tactics that don't allow the mainstream media to vilify you. I mean, I've complained about the media calling this a militia movement. There's nothing about a Bundy's that is a militia, you know, and it's not a standoff yet. And
by the way, I last week did a whole show on we need to change the lexicon, Joel. We need to talk about who the aggressors are. We need to talk about who's armed and militant and who's ratcheting things up to the next level, who's ratcheting it up, who's done it in the past and who will do it again, who's disobeyed the laws and why. We need to articulate that very well, and even though we may not be big enough to make the rules yet, we are big enough to force the mainstream press to start reporting some of the truth, and that's where we need to aim if we want to gain ground. We'll come back. We'll talk to Joel Skousen about finishing up on this real quick. I want to talk about the stock market crashing, too. A lot of people believe it's an absolute rout, a complete meltdown. I disagree. We'll see what Joel says in seconds. LibertyRoundtable.com, WorldAffairsBrief.com.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads, a divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I understand the frustration in the nation, but there's a right way and a wrong way to go about things, and that's the bottom line. I don't care what anybody else says. That's the way it really is, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to advance our cause, you got to do it right. If you don't, you're simply not helping. And the criticism isn't valuable either. We all need to stand together on these issues, and I hope we can get some kind of a rancher's bill of rights. I hope we can get the Hammonds released, and I hope we can really move on to a critical issue called gun control, where Barack's just absolutely out of bounds, and he ought to be impeached over this, and we really need to start focusing on that. And so there's a lot to work on in America today. Anything else on this refuge thing before we move on to the stock market, Joel?
No, I think we've covered it fairly fully.
All right. Stock market, a lot of people are saying it's going to melt down and crash. It's like, you know what, you ain't seen nothing. It's going to be worse than, the Great Depression. It's going to blow away the Great Recession. It's just going to be horrible. Your take?
Well, as I say, I've long said, first of all, there is no such thing as an economic collapse, and you've got a war of sufficient destruction that people simply can't maneuver and operate economically. They can't even barter. You know, that's what it takes to do an economic. So we can forget about an economic collapse. That said, you know, we are seeing the kind of instability that comes from a high-flying speculative market. And there's a real separation today that people need to understand between the speculative markets, and I mean by that the stock market, the Forex, which is the currency exchange market, the futures markets, the derivatives markets, the hedge funds. All of these are highly speculative markets for people with a lot of money, and especially those that are on the receiving end, the big banks receiving end of nearly free money from the Fed. That's where their money flows into. And these banks are pouring in, you know, millions of dollars into the stocks, and that's why they have risen. Now, a huge bubble has been created. It's not created based upon fundamentals or demand. It's been created by the fact that this is where people can, or not people, but the big major institutional investors and big banks can get better than normal returns on the market as long as it keeps pumping up. But once you get into a high bubble like we've got, you know, nearly 18,000 on the Dow at the high point, 17,600 last May, you know, you're looking for a correction, a major correction, because that air wants to come out of that. There's only so long that the government, especially when they start tightening interest rates, can keep money flowing out at nearly free rates. As interest rates rise, there's less incentive to do that. And that's why the air is coming out of this bubble. Now, that said, we have seen the intervention of the plunge protection team numerous times last week and this week towards pumping that market back up, or at least stopping the fall. I mean, there's no reason to explain why it doesn't go to the bottom like 1929, except that all of a sudden, halfway through the day, the buying starts in the futures and the futures contracts, and the market starts regaining part of the loss.
In other words, the government's preventing the very crash everybody's claiming they're causing.
That's exactly right, and that's why, you know, all of these people like Lindsay Williams and others said, insiders are telling me the government's going to pull the plug on the economy. And I say, what's stopping them? All you got to do is not intervene, and it'll pull the plug. All you've got to do is stop printing more money, and it'll pull the plug. And the hundreds of Fed watchers would know to the very hour when the Fed caused the crash, and they'd get the blame. So he said, these people are not as stupid as people think. They're not trying to crash. In fact, they're trying to keep things afloat until war comes, which can give them cover. When things really do collapse in a war, they don't want to get the blame either. And so, you know, they'll have war to blame. But I think that is at least into the next decade, and I think they're perfectly capable of keeping this thing afloat. Nevertheless, there is going to be major corrections. Could be as much as 20 to 30%. We're already
Because they love to fleece us every time and take our money and slowly but surely bring us closer and closer and closer to the brink for sure, right?
And when you're manipulating the markets, not necessarily downward, but the upward turnaround, they can profit and gain that money right back because they know the market's going to turn around and they can go long on the market and make money while everyone else is shorting the market. And they know at certain times they can precipitate shorting the market as well and keep causing it down and make money on the way down.
All right, so Sam and Joel don't believe that it's an absolute meltdown in the stock market. It's totally crashing. Yeah, there'll be booms and busts, and they'll fleece us more and more and more. They'll gain on the up and fleece us on the down, and they'll do it over and over and over. But they're not ready to crash it all, folks, and don't think they're going to anytime soon. The proof is in the pudding. The government's doing everything they can to prevent it from crashing, and that's kind of the story there. Saudi-Iran crisis, maybe provocation, Joel.
Yeah, you know, I'm really, you know, Saudi Arabia is a criminal enterprise. I mean, these are the most corrupt, and they're not really Muslims. I mean, they're just corrupt. They're dealing in pornography. They're dealing in sex slave rings and other things. The royal Saudi family's been protected by Western media sources for years as part of this unholy alliance between our government and Saudi Arabia, not only to keep oil flowing to the West, but to operate this phony war on terror. You know, Saudi Arabia has been the major conduit of U.S. black operations and funding to terrorist organizations controlled by the West. So this is really an evil empire, and Iran is the deadly enemy of Saudi Arabia for good reason. I mean, but this killing of the Shiite cleric there, I think, was a provocation. This is a guy who's been under the gun for years. I mean, there is no religious liberty in Saudi Arabia. Even among Muslims, there's no religious liberty. The U.S. should not be treating Saudi Arabia or letting it to be in charge of the Human Rights Division of the United Nations. I mean, what a hypocrisy. So I think that this was a provocation. And the reason I think that is because, you know, the U.S. got blocked out of Syria from attacking Syria in 2013 with the chemical weapons agreement that Assad agreed to. That was the excuse, chemical weapons, that the U.S. was going to go in and attack and destroy Syria. That's the reason why we've been arming jihadists to take over Syria, supposedly, for chemical weapons. But, of course, we know now that it's through the surrogates Saudi Arabia and Turkey that chemical weapons came into the rebels, and they set them off and then blamed it on the government, that Assad was not stupid enough to use chemical weapons on his own people. But nevertheless, the U.S. is trying to create a way to still get rid of Assad, and that's why they created ISIS. They took about half of the jihadists, said, okay, you're going to be called ISIS now. And they poured in a lot of military equipment, built them up to be 50 or 60,000 fighters and set them off against Iraq and then turned them around against Syria. But this may well be, because that isn't working either now that Russia has intervened to stop ISIS, and the U.S. has had to come in and make some token efforts to get rid of ISIS in Ramadi, for example, which they left the ISIS leaders. They flew out in U.S. helicopters, let ISIS escape to fight another day. So they may well be trying to provoke a war between Iran and Saudi Arabia as a way of unleashing this Middle East war to take down Assad and Iran at the same time.
And you've got the rise of Russia, and China keeps building on the heels of this, right?
Well, that's a long-term goal of Russia and China to eventually take on the West militarily in World War III. And I try to document the extreme rise in the military building program going on in both Russia and China. I've long said that they need a blue water navy in order to prosecute their own version of the New World Order. They intend to start this World War III with a nuclear preemptive strike on American military and perhaps some of NATO and the U.K., especially their submarine, missile submarine bases. But I don't think that the Russians and Chinese are going to nuke cities. They don't want to destroy the world. They want to control it and run their own version of the New World Order. I think this is a trap being set up by the globalists. They intend to, come out and goad us into a militarized global government in response to this attack. So these are long-term goals, and I've covered very, very extensively that Russian, Chinese top-of-the-line weapon systems won't be completed or even started to come online until the beginning of the next decade, and they probably won't be completed until the middle of next decade. So I think the chances of real-life World War III will not come out of the Middle East. The proxy war going on between Russia and the U.S. over Syria, it won't start there. It will start because of North Korea, which just claimed that they had a hydrogen bomb. I think that's bogus. A lot of bravado. I don't think China is going to let North Korea get to be a very sophisticated nuclear power. They just want North Korea to continue to have this image of the rogue nation that nobody can control, so that when they do start World War III in Korea, that China won't get the direct blame, nor Russia. It will be looking as if this wild card started it. But because the U.S., I think, will have to use tactical nuclear weapons to stop that war, or at least the invasion of the North into the South, that will give Russia and China an excuse to go after the U.S.
That will be the unacceptable provocateur action. All right, what do you think for 2016? Any expectations in your mind?
Well, actually, I don't predict either the collapse or any major events. I think more of the same. I think we're going to have market instability, continuing, but I think they'll continue to keep things going, and there'll be lulls in the market.
We've only got about 15 seconds. Do you think we can keep the Ammon Bundy thing peaceful and bring them out of there peacefully?
My gut feeling is that Ammon Bundy has got enough influence or advice now that he will give in and come out peacefully.
I pray that you're correct, sir. I want the peaceful solution for everyone. And I do want to push for solutions and free the Hammonds. And if we can get a rancher's bill of rights, it may not be as much as I would hope for, but it at least is a start. That's for sure. Thank you, Joel Skousen.
My pleasure, Sam.
WorldAffairsBrief.com, ladies and gentlemen. You got to get your copy today. Editor at WorldAffairsBrief.com if you want to get a free copy, and if you want to just sign up every week, every Friday in your inbox. Commentary on a troubled world full of solutions. Very calm hand, steady updates on what he believes are the answers and the breakdown of the news. Good stuff. WorldAffairsBrief.com. This nation shall endure.